Ken Lay settled into his black Mercedes 600 SL, easing out of his reserved parking space at the Huntington Condominiums. From the lot's entrance, he turned right onto Kirby Drive, the tree-lined road that served as a main thoroughfare through River Oaks, Houston's wealthiest and most prestigious neighborhood. The 8-year-old convertible cruised past the mansions bordering the street, homes that testified to the financial success of the city's oil men and corporate barons. Many estates peeked out from behind manicured shrubs and wrought iron gates, or were far from the road on a ridge sloping down to the Buffalo Bayou. But Lay made no effort to peer beyond those veils of privacy. As Houston's most influential businessman, he had already been welcomed in most every River Oaks mansion that might interest him. The neighborhood's elegance melted into Allen Parkway, a winding stretch of road that offered the most direct route downtown. Ahead, the morning sun was a blazing orange ball rising behind a glittering glass and aluminum tower that defined the architectural rhythm of Houston's skyline. It was the headquarters of Enron. His Enron. The once obscure pipeline company that in a matter of years had been transformed into a politically connected energy colossus. Enron was now at the epicenter of Houston's life, a ubiquitous player in everything from the city's politics to its sports teams. But for locals, the sprawling giant would probably just always be known as Ken Lay's company. Lay lowered his car visor and glanced at the dashboard clock. Shortly before 7, early for his commute. But already, he knew this would not be a normal day. His company was under attack. Lay was sure of it. Stock traders who had bet that Enron's share price would fall were whispering rumors, no, lies, about his company. The Wall Street Journal was publishing a drumbeat of articles suggesting Enron had played games with its finances. It infuriated him. They just don't understand. By all rights, Lay shouldn't even have been stuck with the mess. He had stepped down as chief executive the prior February, handing the reins to his hand-picked successor, Jeffrey Skilling, the brains behind Enron's spectacular growth. With market power came world influence, and, as Skilling's profit machine rumbled along, Lay had emerged as a confidant of presidents, a media celebrity, and, at least in Houston, a household name. When Lay bowed out, he was celebrated as a man of vision who got things done. By year's end, he was supposed to be ensconced in a new job at Kohlberg Kravis Roberts & Company, the buyout firm, basking in the glory of the empire he had left behind. Then, with almost no warning, Skilling had up and resigned, just like that, only months after winning the job. Lay had suspected for weeks that something was wrong with his successor. He had even quietly told a few Enron directors that Skilling seemed emotionally overwhelmed by his new responsibilities. Still, he had never imagined the man would just leave. The bombshell had left Lay with little choice. He contacted KKR's principals, passing up their offer, and headed back to his old post. But nothing was the same. Inside Enron, Skilling's departure unleashed a torrent of anger and demands for change. Outside, it fanned suspicions that there were some terrible secrets harbored within the company.